matter of a parties, putting the finishing touches on something and making it usable. We've explained already why it's different than building and what exactly it entails. It's just a few short things to finish, and I'd like to finish it tonight, and I won't take any questions until we finish all of them. We'll finish all of them. If there's time, take questions, and if there's time, we'll go further in the Holocaust, subject of the Holocaust. Okay. The Rabbanan, the rabbis, prohibited various things because either they may lead to repairing something and transgressing the prohibition of Makabah Patish, or because they look like you're repairing something, and people may think that you're allowed to do this, you could do other things that are repairs or whatever. The first one is the Rabbanan Hassard playing musical instruments or using anything that's specifically made for making noise, like door knockers, things like that, even though they're not musical kinds of things. And here, basically, the rule is the following. Anything that uses some kind of utensil and it's made for making noise, then you can't use that for making any kind of noise, whether it's rhythmic, singing, music, or just some noise. Okay? So therefore, any musical instrument is also to use. It's also muktzah. And like a door knocker is also to use to make noise, even some noise, and it's not rhythmic. Okay. Anything that is not made specifically to make noise, but you're using it to make rhythmic kind of noise, is also. So you can't bang with a spoon on a bottle to the rhythm of a song, or even clap your hands to the rhythm of a song, or even bang on the table in rhythm. All of those, you're utilizing some kli, a table, or what's it called, your hands, clapping is also part of the gzeira, and that's us. But if it's not rhythmic, and it's not something made to make noise, then it's mutter. So you're allowed to applaud on Shabbos. You have to clap, it's not rhythmic, just to show your approval of a speaker or whatever. You're allowed to bang on a bottle to catch people's attention. They should be quiet. You gotta take a spoon, bang, as long as you don't bang out something rhythmic, just making noise, that's okay. Because the bottle isn't made for making noise, neither is the spoon. It's not its main purpose. And you're not doing it in a rhythmic manner, that's not awesome. So, what else? Okay, therefore, what's it called? If you don't use any kli, they never ushered singing or even whistling. You're allowed to whistle on Shabbos. You're allowed to whistle while you work or whatever. You can whistle the rhythm, just like singing with your mouth. There's no prohibition about whistling. And what's it called? Clapping, though, usher. If it's rhythmic, if it's not rhythmic, you can clap. And we're makel at even clapping to rhythm. If you do it with a shinoi, backhanded or something like that, is mutter. They also ushered dancing. Now, dancing with Shem Mitzvah is mutter. Specifically, Simchas Torah is an exception, and Chasen V'Kala. Anything less than that. Stam, to dance on Shabbos, to get to the mood of Shabbos. Or dancing at a bar mitzvah where there's no chiyuv of simcha. There are people who are machmer. They only dance either for a Chasen V'Kala or Simchas Torah. Otherwise, they don't dance on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Most of the world is makel that any kind of mitzvah, you want to get a little into Shabbos, you know, youth groups or things like that, that dancing is mutter. In addition, there are those that say that the dancing we do, the yeshivish shuffle, is not called dancing. That's, unless you're doing some kind of acrobatic, you know, fancy dancing, right? If you're just walking around the circle, that's hard to be called dancing. That's called probably walking. Okay. giving children musical rattle or something that's made for noise, or toys that make noise, if the child is not a bar chinuch, it's an infant, up to 4 or 5 years old even, where you can't, I don't know, maybe 3, 4 years old, where you can't, the child is not capable of knowing the difference between days of the week and between things that you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. Up till that point, he's not a bar chinuch, for Shabbos. Once he understands days of the week, can understand that today is Shabbos and Shabbos, the things that you're not allowed to do, then he becomes a bar chinuch for Shabbos. Then you have to stop him from using things that make noise. You can let him play with things that also make noise, but the main thing is not the noise, but you should stop him from making the noise with the thing. In other words, you have a horse that you can use for jumping on, but if you touch its ears, it neighs. Okay? The ikar is not the, you can use the horse without pulling its ear and making it make a noise. So that a child is allowed to use, should have to educate him not to pull the ears. A baby or an infant that's not of educational age, it's still preferable not to give a child like that into its hand, something that is made for making noise, but the child picks it up on his own, that's nicer, you don't have to stop him, and because he's not of an educational age, not only that, if the child really needs it, the child throwing a tantrum, and the rattle will make him calm down, and not only can you give him a rattle, but the child's going to get sick, or he's going to be really upset. If you don't play with him and shake the rattle, you could even shake the rattle yourself. Okay? Okay, so that is the issue of klashir, dancing, using musical instruments, or anything that's made for what's it called, making noise, or making noise in a rhythmic manner, even with things that are not made for making noise. Any questions on this?
What about an electric thing for making noise?
Of course you can just.
No,
I should be electric
with
a better.
That's
so awesome. The, okay. next.
Robert?
Yeah.
The thing with applauding?
Yeah.
Right,
you're allowed to applaud a speaker.
What?
You're allowed to applaud a speaker. After looking into it, regular without putting your hands backhanded. Your hands are not made for making noise. And they're only also if you do it in rhythm to some kind of dancing or singing. But stomp clapping is nothing.
If somebody claps rhythmically, you should stop them?
Since there are shitas that hold this mam hazeh, it's mutter, you should tell them that many posts can hold it faster. If you know they're not going to listen, right, you do it anyway and just leave them go. But if you know there's a chance to listen, you should let them know that many posts can hold it faster. Okay, next. The Rabbanan also ushered tovling kalim on Shabbos, because the keli is not usable before you tovel it, and therefore toveling it appears to be like repairing the kli. So therefore you can't tovel kelim. If you have a kli that you really need, and you forgot to tovel it Erev Shabbos, so there are two possibilities what you could do with it. One possibility is that you can take it to the mikvah and tovel it in a way that doesn't appear like you're doing it for tefillah. This only applies to things that you can fill up with water. You put it into the mikvah water, fill it up, take it full into another room, and then you can do what you want with it, you pour it out. But this way it looks like you just wanted to fill it up with water. You didn't necessarily want to tovel it. So in that situation, Mechora, you should only do it once. Even though it's a minute, we tovel things three times, but here, you shouldn't do it three times because obviously you're not going to fill it up. Why are you doing it three times? So do it once, take out the water, and then you can use that water for whatever you want, but it doesn't look like you're doing it l'shem tefillah, b'shas hadchak, that's mutter. Or there's another possibility. You can give the thing to a guy as a present and borrow it back from him with the stipulation that it's not yours, it's still his, and then you can use it without tefillah. Okay, so that's Tfilas Kelim. Next thing, because it also appears to be repairing something, is taking off challah or trumas and maestris on Shabbos and Yantif. Again, the food is not edible until you take off the challah, until you take off the trumas and maestris, and by taking them off, you're making it edible. It looks like you're repairing something. You're making it usable. And people may think that if you can do that, you can repair other things and make them usable. So they're actually taking off trumas and maestris and challah. Here, there's a difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. So if you remember ever doing this in Chutz La'aretz, realize that Eretz Yisrael is not okay. If you forgot to take off challah in Chutz La'aretz, Shabbos comes in, and all your challahs, right, you don't have any challah to eat, because you didn't do have challah to eat, because you forgot to take off challah. Okay, you don't have any bread for Shabbos. Or you want this bread specifically. Halacha then is, you can eat that bread, leaving over a substantial amount in the end that you can take a kazayas from and take the challah off at the end, and it helps retroactively. So even though you ate it before you took off the challah, since in the end you're going to take off challah, the challah helps retroactively, you have to leave over more than just the amount you're going to take for challah. You have to leave over more than a kazayas and take a kazayas of that, and that kazayas you don't make a bracha on. After you're taking the challah like this, after you've eaten the thing, you don't make a bracha, and you separate, you burn it, burn the kazayas. That is what's it called, one, that's okay in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't apply. If you forgot to take off challah, there's nothing you can do. You can't, what's it called, eat that bread or cake or whatever it is that you didn't take challah off. You have to wait till Motzei Shabbos, take off challah, and then you can eat it. So, that's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Trumas and Maestris, no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. If you have something that needs Trumas and Maestris that happens to be brought to Chutz La'aretz, you can't take off Trumas and Maestris, or you can't eat it and then take off Trumas and Maestris in the end, because it all originated in Eretz Yisrael. There's no such thing as Trumas and Maestris on something that originated in the Chutz La'aretz. There is a possibility what you can do if you see that it's getting late. You have something that you want to eat on Shabbos, and you don't have time Friday to take off Trumas and Maestris. So then you can make it tonight. You can say, if you're not home, right, you're not going to get home till late, and you won't have time to do it, then you can make the following tonight. You can say the whole Nusach of HaPrashas Trumas and Maestris, I'm not going to go through the whole Nusach now, but you say, what I'm going to do later on Shabbos is separate this and this will be Truma, and this will be Maaser Rishon, this will be Maaser Sheni, and so on. And then you do it on Shabbos based on the Tanai that you made Erev Shabbos. That only helps on your food. But you can't do that if you're going to eat by somebody, and you don't know if they take off Truma and Maaseris or how careful they are. You can't make a Tanai on something that's not yours. So it doesn't help if you're going to be a guest by somebody and they didn't take off Trumas and Maestris. You can't take it off on Shabbos, and you can't make this Tanai Erev Shabbos because it wasn't your food. So then you have a problem. Okay, next, the thing they ask you. That is swimming. Basically, in a river, in a lake, on Shabbos is usher. Not only swimming, but even floating things in a river or a lake on Shabbos is also. The application of that that's more common is a swimming pool. A swimming pool that doesn't have walls that extend above ground. In other words, above the ground level. It's below ground level, the pool. And then there's a bank, I guess, or whatever it's called, around, a deck, right, that's ground level. That's the same thing as a river, and you can't swim in a pool like that either, and you can't float things in a pool like that. However, if the swimming pool has walls that go up, probably at least 3 tefachim high, over above ground level, I don't know too many swimming pools that are like that, but if you have such a thing,
above ground pool.
Right, it could be then that what's it called, that's different than a lake or a river, and there the whole reason is because we're afraid to make a raft to flood. And it'll be over the issue of building and making the mark of the pot. Or you'll repair a raft. Even though it's very uncommon, still the Gzera was a Gzera, and they may have had other reasons also. Today, the mimic is not to immerse your whole body even in cold water, unless for a mitzvah. Let's go to a mikvah, what's it called? People hold this, okay, it's by mitzvah. But stop, even to take a shower or a bath in cold water, which mikvah I've been as mutter. But where the minig is not to do that because there's so many isurim that I can apply. Also, you have to worry about what kind of bathing suit you're wearing if you're going to go swimming because you're washing the bathing suit by immersing it in water. It would have to be a bathing suit that is totally not porous, in other words, plastic, rubber suit. That may be okay. Nylon, according to many posts, is usher, because nylon is somewhat absorbent. So if it's usher to what you call to, and many, many things in nylon are partially polyester and partially real, what's it called, thread. Or it's sewn with thread. It's sewn together with thread. Or the buttons, the strings are thread. So most bathing suits are not allowed to be used to swim with. In addition, squeezing out your hair or whatever is a problem. So for all practical purposes, swimming on Shabbos in any kind of pool, even going into a bathtub under normal circumstances, is not allowed. Okay, next. Molid reyach. Imparting aromas in things is also considered like repairing something, making something new. Molid. So that means you can't spray deodorants or things that have an aroma onto things, onto furniture, onto shape of. But on your own skin and your own real hair, you're allowed to. You're allowed to spray deodorant on Shabbos on your body. You're allowed to put perfume on, cologne, whatever, but you can't put it on your clothing. Now, if incidentally you put it on your body and the male is going to impart something into your clothing, but that's not your main important intention, that's okay. You're allowed to put something back into something that already had a scent. For instance, esrogen used to come in that hair, that flax. And the scent of the esrog was very prominent in the flax. You can rewrap an esrog in that, right, even though it's going to impart more, but the reyach is already there. It's not your main intention. But you can't add in any aromatic things into water, onto a solid. The air is different. You can spray room deodorant in the air. Even though when it falls down, it's going to fall on the ground and give the aroma to the ground, or it's going to spread to the walls, as long as you're not doing it directly on the wall or the ground, it's just incidental, then it's the same thing as putting perfume on your body and it seeping into your clothing or whatever, the aroma, that's also okay. Anything else? Yeah, that pretty much finishes Maka the Patish. Yeah.
Thank you for Tumas and Mises. Yes,
it's not your food. If you find some way of them giving you the food, being mocking you the food before Shabbos, then maybe it'll help. But you have to find a way that's halachically okay. They can't just say it's your food. It's not your food.
Is that something about halachically? At what point it becomes yours? If it's when it's Shabbos, if it's also on your plate?
Yeah, but you're not there on Shabbos when you're making your snack.
What
does it make you swallow? You're not, it's not on your plate, Erev Shabbos. If it was, then you'd take it from some nice Erev
Shabbos. The mice, I received such in situations besides the cross that could be on Shabbos.
How?
That's what I was asking. Is it not religious or?
Unless somehow the people are mocking you the food before Shabbos, the Tashtis, what they say it could be is that they can put food aside from you in Kalim and be mizakeh to you. then you could possibly do something. But if the food is in their house and they're not mezakeh to you, you can't take up chumash and maisers from their food. You make it smart. That's all.
Yes, on your own food, making it smart, that we should take off later.
Okay.
So why is that not considered border? That's because that's what that would be human chumash and maisers kodesh, and therefore that's not
smart. Yeah, it's not, even though shalashim or whatever, or it has different halacha, it's the same thing. It's not bore one min from another min, it's a min. Bore is only two min, it's one min. Taking part of that min, or taking part of that same min.